Thank you, Ben, for leading us so helpfully this morning. So when his local Baptist church decided to paint the outside of its, the rain poured down. But Harry was no fool. He knew this was a judgment from God. And thin no more. Although that was a really bad joke. It breaks his heart. Way. We kind of get used to the idea. A huge turnoff for a lot of people. And as we open up the scriptures at Revelation 16, judgment on the way. As God pours out his wrath and the constant onslaught of war, that's when Jesus and Christ will reign victorious forever, who faithfully put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And all believers since, and frogs, we think, help. Where do we start it? Overview, God. There's countless other Christians. So God pours out, of course, refers to his second. And finally, the judgment is complete. So that's enemies. And was writing to encourage them. Verse 1, for whatever reason, there is righteous anger, pride and self-indulgent, which attitude, as Christians, morally, even they don't want to diminish this, and I prefer to bear. And we see this church at verse 5, that God's wrath is mighty. True that, troll, that God's wrath is mend their ways. Dream example of this. The cup that in obedience to God's will, that thou, my God, Lord in Christ, is mentioned several times, worshipped the Christ in the last years and the like. The same chapter. Lord. Exodus, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. When we come to faith in Christ, Jesus enters our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the people who have the mark of the beast are unbelievers. These earth dwellers, done. These unbelievers. Verse 6 in chapter 16 tells us, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets. In other words, they have persecuted God's people. In verses 9, 11, and 20, they curse God. Think and act and say, I live the way I want to live. Okay? Not the way God wants to live. Some scoff at God. Some reject God or the idea of God. Some even deny that God exists. Recognize them? Of course we do. Much offense in today's society. It's a load of rubbish. I've done nothing wrong. I've never harmed anyone. Look at all the good things I've done. I can carry on with my life my way without God. Thank you very much. What about believers? Encouragement and assurance to believers. This lovely beatitude here in verse 15. Jesus says, blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. It's a rather strange way of describing believers. What's clothes got to do with believing? Turn back there and we'll find the answer. Who these believers are. Revelation 3, verses 3 to 5, where Jesus says to the church at Sardis, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. For they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life. but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. And again, later on in that chapter, verses 18 to 19, to the church at Laodicea, he says this: I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. So two ideas to hold on to here: white clothes and repent. The idea of white garments is the same as to walk with the Lord. Jesus is wearing his white robe. So we walk with the Lord. I'm reminded of that old hymn: when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, while we do his good will, he abides with us still. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. We walk with the Lord on the road of obedience. The name of all believers are in the book of life. They will never be erased. Each believer is known and loved by Jesus. Each believer is secure in their salvation. Through all the trials and tribulations of the last days, they will be protected. They will never perish. The ultimate outcome for believers is eternal life. But for now, we need to be earnest and keep on wearing the clothes of obedience. The subtitle to this message this morning is, Watch Out! There's a thief about. It's a paraphrase of the first part of verse 15. Look, I come like a thief. The Apostle Peter and Paul both use this analogy in their letters. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Jesus' second coming will come at the least expected time. There'll be no warning or announcements, no air raid sirens. No one knows when he'll come. Not even Jesus knows. Only God the Father knows. So don't let's spend time on speculation. Let's spend all our time on preparation. We have to be ready at all times for the unexpected. Between now and then, every step in life needs to be with the Lord. And if we should drift off the road of obedience and sin, Jesus says, repent. Repentance is often pictured as making a U-turn from our way back to God's way. But there's a lot more to repentance than merely making a U-turn. If there's one thing we can learn from Revelation, it's that God views sin very seriously. We need to see sin from God's perspective. One day he's going to bring judgment on all who fail to understand just how serious sin is. We need to grieve over our sin, to realize just how much our sin breaks God's heart. When Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are those who mourn," he was speaking about those who grieve over their sin. Their repentance is genuine. So we need to grieve over our sin. We need to take appropriate action, beginning with a change of heart and mind. But we need to follow it up with remedial action so that we don't fall back into that same sin over and over again. We need to kill it once and for all. We need to repent day in and day out. Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him." And in closing, If this gospel of grace means anything to us, we need to think seriously about all those people we know and share life with who worship the beast. After the seventh bowl is poured out into the air, God announces victory. It is done. It's all over. The battle of sin, the battle against Satan, is finally over. At that moment, every believer will experience eternal rest and life with Jesus. At the same time, every unbeliever will face everlasting torment, separated from God. My friends, we need to seize every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know him, those who worship the beast. Next term, the home groups are going to study a DVD-based series, Fruitfulness in the Front Line. One group has already trialed it and say it's great. It really gives me the confidence to get out there and share the gospel. This is a great way to equip us with the task of sharing the gospel wherever we are and whoever we're with. Watch out for more news on this in the coming weeks. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Let's pray.